home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Bickley and Murata, presented by Sanderson Ford.
That's Big Red Monday here on 98.7 FM, Arizona sports station. Bickley and Murata into hour number two. We've got a roundtable coming up with Burns and Gambo in just seconds here, Bick. We'll be simulcasting here in Phoenix and in the Dallas Metroplex with the guys from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, K&C Masterpiece. They were
nice.
They were the show that Stephen Jones had the world's worst cell phone on last week that we played the audio of, and you told me to shut it off.
Oh, I did not. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Are we going to exchange insults and jokes, Carlin? Do you have anything prepared? Really?
Don't know.
Wow.
It's okay. You're good. You're good, Jared.
That's true.
So I'll be giving, we'll be giving and taking, thoughts going into tonight's Monday night game at AT&T Stadium with the Cowboys hosting the Cardinals. You know, this is only the third Cardinals road Monday night game.
I did not know that.
Here we go.
All right.
8.7 Arizona Sports. It is Dan Bickley and Vince Murata. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
We're good. We're good. I guess we should also be welcome to y'all's program at the same time,
yes,
right?
Yes. Welcome to Phoenix, where I think it's still triple digits today on October 19th. Welcome to our hell, boys.
All right. So Cliff Kingsbury said last week that his Texas accent gets really thick after a few Coors Lights. What about you boys? Does that happen to you boys?
Absolutely. As soon as I crack my first bottle.
Is there an Arizona accent that one would detect if that was the case? Because I do not fall into that Texas category.
I'm going to sit here and we're going to kind of do the reverse thing, and I'm going to kind of make fun of our own place. The problem with Arizona is that we're full of transplants, people from all over the country. So there's nothing really uniquely Arizona.
Yeah, so an Arizona accent is a New York accent, a Chicago accent, a Philly accent, a Boston accent.
That's right.
You know.
So the only thing you guys can make fun of is our sports teams, which
or the
generally
fact that there's
stink.
No grass anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. One of the two teams participating in Monday Night Football tonight actually plays on a grass field. And it ain't the Cowboys.
How do you guys have a grass field? Did you take all the grass in the state of Arizona and transplant it to your football
field? It's
not
even from Arizona. It's from somewhere else.
Yeah.
But it's maintained and grown here, guys. Give us a little bit.
I want to get into this matchup because I'm struggling here as a Cowboy fan. I do think the Cowboys are about the 10th worst team in football, especially with all of the injuries that they have. Yet now Las Vegas has this as a Cowboys 1-point favorite, and I'm struggling to see the Cowboys win. So can you help me out? Maybe I am overrating the Arizona Cardinals a lot, but can you guys help us out on why people think the Cowboys with Andy Dalton, backup tackles, no defensive tackles, are better than the Arizona Cardinals?
I think locally here, people are just tripping out because the Cardinals lost to a couple of teams that they should not have lost to. And they went to Carolina and lost to a Panthers team with Teddy Bridgewater. And then they also lost to a Detroit Lions team with that bearded freak of a head coach. So, I think that kind of took some of the luster away from the Cardinals. So I think you look at the Cowboys and the offensive weapons you guys have the wide receiver trio you have, Ezekiel Elliott. That's, as some people have said, that's about as good of a position for a backup quarterback to walk into, even if he has red hair.
Yeah, I'll give you another one, too, guys. The Cardinals' defense under Vance Joseph as the coordinator, they have a way of making competent quarterbacks feel really comfortable. They don't generate a lot of pressure. They don't force turnovers. You subtract Chandler Jones from the mix as their one bona fide pass rusher. That's what on the Cardinals side of the ledger, that's what scares me going into this matchup. Is Andy Dalton is a capable quarterback. We've seen that for over a decade.
I thought that Isaiah Simmons was going to be a monster on the field for the Cardinals. Has he not lived up to those expectations? What's he not doing well? Is it because the head coach is like, no, I like offense. We're going to put him on the offensive side of the ball.
He has just failed to carve out any role. I mean, he started, it starts in football are kind of meaningless outside of quarterbacks, but he showed up in the starting lineup in the first four games of the year. But go back to week one against San Francisco. Early in the game, he gets called for a horse collar penalty on George Kittle, and then he got caught with his eyes in the backfield on a pass to Raheem Mostert that went for a 76-yard touchdown. And that's the last time anybody's really noticed Isaiah Simmons in the defense. He plays, I think his highest snap total in the last four games has been 13 defensive snaps. So he's just not getting on the field. And some of that has to do with the inside linebackers Jordan Hicks and Devondre Campbell actually playing well. But they're shorthanded now. You would expect a guy that was drafted that high with that skill set to be able to carve out some kind of role, and it just hasn't happened.
What's the general vibe in Arizona about Kyler Murray? Because, like, obviously we love him around here because he was so great in high school. And is everyone on the same page that he's definitely a future franchise quarterback? Is it still wait and see? What's the vibe on him?
Yeah, I think most everybody is really stoked about what he brings and how good he can be. Some of his rushing touchdowns purely are electrifying is what they are. And you guys know that.
Yeah.
As a passer, he struggled a little bit this year. And then as an offense, Cliff Kingsbury, he hasn't gotten this thing elevated the way I think a lot of people thought. When the Cardinals brought him in and everyone's like, oh, cool, offensive guru who flamed out at his alma mater, but really good with X's and O's, it really hasn't materialized. So I think people look at the player and go, okay, there's a lot to work with there. But it's also, you know, it's a matter of comfort with him because there's times when you can tell he's a little bit skittish about playing in a sport that's this big, fast, and strong. It's not like playing at Oklahoma, but people here are pretty stoked on him.
Are you guys also stoked that you have the most handsome coach in the NFL? How often does that come up on the show?
Well, face, guys. You know, I mean, if
I'm not disputing that, I'm just also bringing up.
I'm joking. I think what's interesting too is that he does not have a good record at Jerry World at all.
No,
he's gotten his backside.
Hold on, I want to rewind a little bit. You guys think he's better looking than Matt LaFleur?
Man, that's a good point.
Kevin, that's a question for you. Who would you rather date?
Yeah, I know. For sure, he's the most handsome.
Sean McVay is over here saying, what about me?
Sean McVay, I've kind of lost my interest. I've moved on.
Andy Reid, for goodness sake.
Hey, if you can win the Super Bowl ring, I respect power for sure. But
I know you're going to get a good meal with him.
That is true.
A really good hamburger.
Oh, my God. I got scared for half a second.
So you guys, though, but to be clear on this, so you guys who have watched the Cowboys play every down, you guys see them as distinct underdogs in this game.
Man,
yes,
I really do. And, like, if you look at the point spread, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. I know it's a product of where the money comes in, but it's been astonishing because the Cowboys were going to be 2.5 to 3 point favorites. And then Dak got hurt, and then they got installed as 2.5 point underdogs. And then, so, you know, 5.5 point swing without Dak makes sense. But then it keeps creeping. And now, as of this afternoon, the Cowboys are a 1 point favorite, which is a byproduct of the money, but it also would lead you to believe that, like, the difference between Andy Dalton and Dak is 1.5 to 2 points, which I think is obviously patently insane.
Yeah, and then on top of that, the Cowboys have basically been trying out a cornerback's opposite Trayvon Diggs the entire season.
And Diggs
and that's their,
too.
Yeah, and that's their rookie. I mean, who's playing good for a rookie, but not playing up to starting NFL caliber level right now. And then they're still trying to figure out who their safety combination is. But Mike doesn't even call one of the guys by his name. He just calls him by 23 the entire time.
Doesn't deserve a name.
Yeah, so, like, we're in a situation where our defense, our secondary has been decimated by injuries. The defensive front, we were just talking about Dontari Poe. He can't even stand up without getting pushed backwards. So, like, the entire defense just looks that miserable. How are they going to keep Kyler Murray contained? And then on top of that, you guys pulled off maybe the biggest heist in all of history with getting DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson.
Yeah.
And how do the Cowboys stop him from getting whatever he wants on the field? They're going to have to triple team him.
So I think we can all say that all four of us are expecting the number to go over tonight. I'm not a gambler, but to look at the over-under 55.
I don't get it.
You do bring up something interesting, and I know this is not related to the Cowboys, but we do want to thank Bill O'Brien again. Does he get destroyed in Texas still, even though he's lost his job for that trade?
People couldn't understand why he was employed at all going into the season. And then every single loss, it was like, you save your Adam Gase as to who has the hottest seat. It's Bill O'Brien. And
it's very tough because you're like, if you're going to be the new GM, you're like, wait a second. So I have Deshaun Watson. That's a positive. And I have no draft picks for 6 years. This is going to be a little bit tough to rebuild this team because Bill O'Brien traded all of them.
I thought it was cool of O'Brien to text Romeo Crennel yesterday, though, to tell him to go for two. That was pretty cool that he still has little bit of influence there.
Did you see the analytic number? I don't know where y'all sit on like analytics versus gut and everything like that, but I was watching a statistical breakdown of it, and they said analytics will tell you that if you go for two in that situation, your win percentage is 98.2. If you kick the extra point, it's 98.1. And I was like, that's where I think analytics is off, because I kick that extra point to go up eight every single time.
Absolutely. The worst you can do, and the pressure's on the other team to convert the two-point conversion, worst you can do is overtime.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that. I really, really am.
All right, guys. So to feel better about our Cowboys winning, if they're going to win, a lot of people here, including Jerry Jones, who we interviewed on Friday, said we need to get Zeke way more involved and be way more of a balanced team. Is it easy to run on the Arizona Cardinals?
That's a great question. It has been at times, especially with the real physical pounding backs. We saw that in the Carolina game. Yeah, I'm not a huge believer in this defense or its coordinator. I think they're soft at times. Their physicality has gotten better than it was last year, but they don't always play with the ferocity you would expect them to. So I think that Ezekiel Elliott is a big problem for them, is what I think.
But one of the things the Cardinals have going for them, late last week, it was kind of up in the air on whether Jordan Phillips was going to play in this game. He had a death in the family, and he had tweeted out that the NFL was making him pick between going to a funeral or playing on Monday Night Football. He couldn't do both. But then Michael Bidwell came in and arranged for him to be able to do both. So his presence in the middle of that line is big, especially with Chandler Jones out. And I would say, the Cardinals aren't the hardest team in the league to run on, but I think their run defense has been better than their pass defense so far.
Do you guys, since we were talking about this, feels like a discernible underdog game for the Cowboys? What are y'all feeling in terms of the outcome tonight?
Vic, you want to tackle this one first?
Yeah, no. I've been vacillating. I think it's an enormous game for the Arizona Cardinals, and I think Kyler Murray in these situations, he's responded very well, and I think he's really going to vibe on this playing in Jerry World and going
never
back.
Never loses there.
Yeah, never, it has never lost there. I think there's that. So I want to believe the Cardinals are big enough and good enough to win this game, but this is a large platform, man. You know, you got that big old star at midfield. It's a different deal winning in Dallas.
Yeah, I just feel
or Arlington, wherever that stadium is.
I feel like
located.
This is going to be a shootout like most people expect with two defenses that aren't necessarily that strong, and I might be being kind talking about Dallas's defense that way.
Yes.
And when you just look at the offensive talent on both sides, I mean, if there was ever the recipe for a high-scoring game, it's that. As we sit here at 11:13 Phoenix time on the day of the game.
That's not what time it is.
Phoenix time.
That's not what time it is.
It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's really funny.
I thought it was. I forgot it's Dallas Mean Time. I forgot. But I honestly, guys, I don't know who to pick right now. I'm kind of flip flopping every time I have a different thought on the game too. It should be entertaining. I'll say that much.
I've put a lot of money on Arizona. Doesn't mean I'm rooting for them. I'm picking 42-27 Cardinals. So just for the Cardinal fans listening right now, not that I'm saying I'm rooting for that, but I think we have the worst defense arguably in Cowboys history this year. And so I think Kyler Murray, we couldn't catch Daniel Jones. We could only get pressure on him through blitzing for the most part, and he would get out of those situations. Sometimes it was an incomplete pass. I'm like, if you can't get Daniel Jones to the ground, we're not getting Kyler Murray to the ground. And so I just, to me, for your Cardinal fans, I'm struggling watching all the Cowboy games, seeing how in the world we're supposed to win this game.
Yeah, but take solace in the fact that even if the Cardinals do win tonight, the Cowboys will still be in first place.
Damn right.
Yeah. 6-10. This is
don't y'all
be the
wish
first
y'all were
time.
In our division again.
Yes, absolutely.
I think the Cowboys can win it at 6-10, guys.
That'd be unprecedented.
Yeah.
Right. We'll bring you back for our segment about could this NFC East be the worst division in the history of football,
yeah.
Not just for this year. Well, we're glad that we got this opportunity to chat, and maybe we'll have to revisit and trash talk some more.
I right, like it. Thank
good,
you,
guys.
Fellas.
Absolutely.
Clear. Thanks. There we go. A little crosstalk fun with the guys from 105.
Sounds like you had some jokes
Dallas.
Ready, Vinny.
With the KNC Masterpiece, the name of the show.
So am I right? Did you have some jokes ready?
No.
I mean, I've heard of some dumb ones about the Cowboys before. There's a famous meme out there that says, "I'm sorry, honey, you can't be the first female quarterback in the NFL. Tony Romo already beat you to it." Right?
I hadn't seen that
one. The best thing to come out of Dallas, I-45 South. Right?
I reserve that joke.
Jared's writing that one down. Right? No. Why is it called the Lone Star State? It's the highest rating they could get. but that wouldn't have been becoming of us. But I did like that guy said, that's not what time it is. That's so Texas.
Dallas Mean Time.
Yeah.
Central
right.
Time.
Right.
What's lamer than Central Time?
Everybody goes by Central Time.
What time it is.
Even like the national television networks always say
that's
Eastern
right.
and Pacific.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not true. 8 o'clock, actually, 7 central.
I'm actually, things like that always bother me because the only insult anybody ever has about Arizona is about not being able to grow grass. It's, what else?
Beck, I hate to tell you, that's not the only insult people have about Arizona.
What do they have? What do they say in situations like this?
If it wasn't Texas talking to us, they could have other insults, I'm sure, about the craziness of our state.
We live
Texas
in
is...
We live in a state that contains the city of Tucson.
Okay.
Okay. Right. That is true.
So this is the third consecutive week, at least, where we talk to somebody from the other market, and all they do is say how terrible their team is.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cardinals are 1-1 so far in those games.
Did anything they said make
and
you feel better?
Did we talk to somebody from Detroit the week of the Lions game?
Yeah.
We did.
They probably said they stunk, too. You're right.
Yeah. I think they're 1-2 in those
right.
games. They didn't really, you know, I know sometimes in those late week or, you know, before the game conversations we have with out-of-town media members,
mm-hmm.
I tend to sway. Nothing that they said swayed me. But that doesn't mean I don't believe the Cowboys can't win this game. The Cardinals are going to have to be, I believe, better than they've been under Cliff Kingsbury offensively to win this game.
I agree with that. I really do. I think they're going to have to be able to stack really good scoring drives on top of each other. And I've not been able to see, and I have not seen this offense be able to do that very, very frequently. That to me is the referendum for Cliff Kingsbury tonight. Then the Vance Joseph thing is create pressure on Andy Dalton. Okay. Find a way to bring some blitzes to knock that quarterback around. Don't let him get comfortable and allow him to start picking you apart. The problem happens to be, when you saw those great blitzes Todd Bowles was dialing up yesterday, and he was bringing people all over the place all the time, his back end had them covered. That's the art of it all.
Yeah, but that's also the calling card of the Todd Bowles defense. I don't expect Vance Joseph to become Todd Bowles just to put pressure on Andy Dalton. I mean, he's a much more conservative defensive coordinator. But that doesn't mean that there's not opportunity to scheme something to get pressure on Andy Dalton. The Cardinals need to do that. They need to put him into situations where the ball's in jeopardy. That's one of the glaring stats that comes out in this game is the Cowboys are terrible at taking care of the football, and the Cardinals are terrible at forcing turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of those things is going to be more prevalent tonight?
Yeah,
and that
listen,
could be, very well be the difference in the game.
I know, and this is kind of what kind of echoes with me here about this game. First of all, I think the state of Texas, they have a very, very fond view of Kyler Murray. Clearly, for the story, for the because they love that stuff. They love for their high school legends to be larger than life. And even if you're 5'10" and an eighth.
Yeah, I mean, he did one thing to tarnish that Texas image a little bit, and that was transfer from Texas A&M to Oklahoma. He could take another step in tarnishing his own Texas image tonight if he goes in and embarrasses the Cowboys' defense on national television. I'm all for it. I'd love to see it happen. I would love to see, I don't know if you saw it on ESPN.com, they asked for, they do a little cross-write thing with different beat writers.
Uh-huh.
And bold prediction by Josh Weinfuss of ESPN, who covers the Cardinals. Kyler Murray will throw for 350 yards and run for another 100 in a reminder to everyone in Dallas, Fort Worth, that he's a legend there for a reason. I'd love to see that happen.
Yeah.
I would love to hit the airwaves tomorrow saying that's what he's capable of. That's what this offense is capable of.
Okay.
And this defense is bad enough to make it happen.
Listen, I said this earlier when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals, that great teams, when they know they have something special, they declare it. For as much talking as went on here early in the season about we feel like we've got something special, the guys in here are great, they haven't declared anything on the field. They've managed to beat some really bad teams. They beat a good 49ers team on the road to start the season, and this is what they have done up until this point in the season. So I don't know about this collective team and how far they're going to go this year, but great players also declare themselves. You could not script a better stage for Kyler Murray in terms of what I think matters to Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray is deeply proud of what he's accomplished on a football field. I think he's deeply proud of what he's accomplished in that stadium. Three high school state championships and a Big 12 title.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good resume.
A real good resume. So, and he knows that those people in Texas love him for what he did in high school. It's a very powerful thing to be walking into. So it is. So Kyler Murray and his greatness, this is the time to declare it. And I think he's going to. I think he's going to play very well. But I hope it doesn't have to be a frenetic performance where he's constantly rescuing stale, stagnant drives with well-timed scrambles or a well-timed throw. I hope it's, as Cliff likes to say, on schedule.
Yeah. Here's Mike McCarthy, the head coach of the Cowboys, talking about the kind of pressure Kyler Murray puts on a defense.
I mean, definitely. Every week you have a rush. You have a rush plan. You know, Kyler's is unique. You see the majority of his scrambles and his ability to come out of the pocket is up through the A and B gaps. You know, and that's something that's, you know, it's a weekly plan. And I mean, he's extremely quick. And you know, I think just the fact that he leads the league in quarterback rushing yards, you know, speaks volumes to the challenge that he presents to you when he decides to come out of the pocket.
And we've seen the teams that have been successful in kind of slowing down Kyler mm-hmm. Murray and making him look rather average
mm-hmm.
really point to Carolina and what Phil Snow was able to do in that ball game. They're not coming after him full bore. They're pushing up the field, keeping him in the pocket, and trying to make him to challenge him to throw into the middle of the field. I'll be curious to see if the Cowboys try to follow that example.
I have seen personally two transcendent defensive coordinator performances, defensive strategy performances this year. One was Mike Zimmer against Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson still came back and beat him at the end. Because
mm-hmm.
Mike Zimmer in that game alternated between blitzing Russell Wilson and then just playing this soft zone where basically his defensive linemen barely even moved upfield. They just created this little cocoon of everybody waiting for Russell Wilson to just throw the ball from the pocket.
But a lot of that success they had defensively, too, was by their offense keeping Seattle off the field.
That's right. That is right. The other would be Todd Bowles, what we saw yesterday. When you look now, I think really there's a lot of pressure for Cliff Kingsbury to perform and show out well in this game. And I'm going to tell you why. He needed a great call on fourth down against the Jets to get that game in his rearview mirror. That was a one-score game facing a punt situation before that thing turned for good. if Dallas's defense is truly the worst Dallas defense that the Cowboys have seen in a long time, and you just heard it from those two guys in Dallas, they said this is the worst Cowboys defense they can ever remember. If Cliff Kingsbury can't light that team up, you've got to ask yourself about what exactly is this offense that he's bringing to Arizona?
Yeah. Well, they're getting a little help tonight. Well, maybe more than a little help. Linebacker Leighton Van Der Esch had a broken collarbone, had surgery. He's expected to play tonight. About a month after having collarbone surgery.
Wow.
So he's a guy that's around the football a lot that could help them out defensively. We'll have a lot more on this contest coming up and a lot more on Week 6 in the NFL. It's Big Red Monday here on Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta. Hash marks.
Give it to Henry. Looking for some room. Finds it. 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45, 40,
wow!
35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, end zone. Ladies and gentlemen, 94 yards. Touchdown, Titans!
A lot going on.
Derrick Henry, he's good. How about that for a declarative
statement?
Yeah,
that's really strong analytical stuff.
Thank you,
man. Now I know why you're so beloved among members of our audience. What?
Nothing. 212 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, 94 on that carry. Pretty entertaining game between Tennessee and Houston. I thought you were going to be prophetic because you called Houston. You called your shot on Friday. And they had their chances. I think Romeo Crennel really, really screwed that decision up to go for two, leave the door open, and Tennessee walked through the open door.
What was he doing? It's what you expect from Romeo Crennel, and I wasn't aware of Mike Vrabel and his genius at milking clocks and absorbing penalties. The stuff that he has learned from Bill Belichick about exploiting NFL loopholes and then using it constantly, it's great stuff.
Yeah, it was actually really complicated because I watched the whole thing unfold. Somebody did a really good breakdown video of it, just applauding Mike Vrabel and his knowledge of these rules and how to milk clock and basically he was able to save 40 seconds at the end of the game.
Yeah.
The Titans score the game-winning touchdown, by the way, with 4 seconds left on a play that I believe most quarterbacks would have gone to the line of scrimmage and spiked the ball to clock it. And Ryan Tannehill didn't do that. Brown made an unbelievable catch. I think that might have been the most entertaining game of the day.
It really was. And the comparison between Derrick Henry and David Johnson in terms of production, David Johnson had 19 carries for 57 yards, I believe. Derrick Henry had, 22 carries for 212? Plus, he had, 75 yards receiving.
Yeah.
Plus, he just bowled over a guy to win the thing in overtime.
There was also a play near the goal line where David Johnson was the lead blocker and absolutely whiffed on his block. Somebody pointed out. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I mean, David Johnson, he's not in Derrick Henry's class. Derrick Henry is, I believe, the best running back in football right now, all things considered. And yesterday, getting involved in the pass game is scary. But you brought up a great point on this game in show prep, Vic, and that is Tennessee, they've had some adversity, too, over the past couple weeks, getting shut down for COVID. They came out. They really acquitted themselves well in the Tuesday night game against a good Buffalo team. They come back. They win in overtime yesterday. They're 5-0. And with what we saw transpire in the AFC yesterday, your point was this is not just a top-heavy conference now with Kansas City and Baltimore and then everybody else. Tennessee is for real.
Yeah, they are. And I said this at the start of the show. We all thought that Baltimore and Kansas City were the elite teams in the AFC. The Pittsburgh Steelers are monstrously good. It's a shame they lost Devin Bush, a great linebacker for them. He tore his ACL. Tennessee lost Taylor Lewan. He tore his ACL. But the Titans and the Steelers, plus the Chiefs and the Ravens, throw in the Bills.
Don't forget about the Raiders either. I mean, there's some good teams in the AFC.
Used to be for a long, long period of time in my upbringing as a football fan, the NFC was just dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Favre and the Packers, the 49ers, and the Cowboys. And the AFC was like the JV. They'd send Stan Humphries to the Super Bowl. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, Stan Humphries played in the Super Bowl.
It's a Neil O'Donnell to the Super Bowl.
How'd that work out?
How'd that work out for you?
Not very good. Buffalo's interesting, too. And I know they play tonight. They're 4-1 and in first place in the AFC East. They've got a negative point differential right now at 4-1. Isn't that weird?
That's I did not know that. That's very, very.
I guess their one loss, they got killed. I don't even remember.
Speaking of getting killed, it was Tuesday night
against Tennessee.
I just checked in with my fantasy football team. I knew I was losing to Vinny because I had a couple of really bad performances. He is killing
me, thrashing me.
And he still hasn't even posted Ezekiel Elliott's.
Yeah, let's go to the scoreboard, shall we?
Oh, my goodness. It's 146-70.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I need a big Hopkins-Murray combo night tonight, which I'm expecting and hoping for.
Come on, Bick. If Zeke doesn't do anything, you still have Mahomes and Diggs going tonight. If
but
they
I
go
still
for,
couldn't cover that.
If they go for 90.
You talked about the...
Oh, for 90. I got a shot. You telling me I got a shot, Vinny?
Hey, you got a shot.
Yeah.
The Bills game tonight, with the Patriots losing, the Bills win tonight. They're all of a sudden, what are they, three games up? I mean, I know it's still early in the season, but with the streak that the Patriots have winning that division, that'd be some statement to make this early in the season.
Yeah, if the Bills won tonight, they'd be up two games on Miami. Miami's back to eat, and, but three on the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about Baker Mayfield just sapping all of the excitement and enthusiasm out of what was going on in Cleveland? And a lot of that has to do with Pittsburgh. They're really good.
Yeah.
But Cleveland has been, they've got two losses and they've been smacked twice.
Yeah.
Badly.
Right. Yeah. One of the guys that I have on my fantasy football team, because I've lost Christian McCaffrey, but that's no excuse. Everybody loses a big player. I believe Kareem Hunt, especially when he was, this game is for Myles Garrett. Shut up, Garrett. Yeah, okay, Kareem. Thanks for coming. Thanks for posting me 4 points or whatever you gave me. Well done.
Yeah, not a great
performance. How is your fantasy football team doing, by the way? Because it's a pretty good team. You got Julio Jones on the bench. I think you got more points on your bench than I do for my starting lineup
right now. You might be right.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yuck.
I was 2-3 going into the week.
All right.
Yeah. I've been ravaged.
Not anymore.
I had Justin Jefferson, too, yesterday, who almost had 40 points. By the way, how bad are the Minnesota Vikings? I actually walked away from their performance against Seattle thinking they were going to get things turned around. They are awful.
Mm-hmm. I really thought they were by far the best one-win team in football, but I think that loss to Seattle eviscerated them. They just, and you know what? They've got a quarterback they don't trust. They just don't trust that guy. And who would?
He threw six interceptions all of last year. He's already got 10 this year.
That was when they signed him and gave him all that money. It was one of those things where everybody said, it's not worth it. That's not going to work. At best, he's going to be mediocre for them, and he is.
And I think that hands the title of the best one-win football team over to the L.A. Chargers. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you said earlier, if this whole Tampa-L.A. thing keeps cresting, you're going to get the Buccaneers playing the Chargers in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, this pointed out, Jim tweeted us and said, hey, this World Series will determine who the city of champions is this year. Will it be L.A.? Already got a title with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Will it be Tampa Bay? Already got a title with the Lightning.
Or will the Mariners crash the party and all of a sudden Seattle will get two? No.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said, this Tennessee team is just... I did not expect this from them.
You mentioned how good the AFC
really
is.
Didn't.
Who do you think is the best team in the AFC right now?
I did not know Ryan Tannehill was this good.
I would give Pittsburgh the nod over Tennessee right now, but that's 1-2 for me.
Isn't it funny how after the second half of the Titans season last year and their playoff run, still nobody wanted to think that they were going to be good this year? And... they're just rolling. They're just continuing it.
I picked them to win the division, but almost by default, because I wasn't a believer in the Colts getting Phillip Rivers. I thought Jacksonville was going to be terrible. And they teased us for a week. Jacksonville might be the 31st best team in the league. Nobody's worse than the Jets.
Right.
Who got shut out yesterday by Miami. And now Adam Gase and Greg Williams are fighting publicly over comments. I said this to you earlier today, Bick, off the air. How does Greg Williams continue to get jobs?
I don't know. I really don't.
Now, you could say about Adam Gase is incompetent. He's a bad coach. The numbers bear that out.
Yeah.
He was given an opportunity. The Jets chose him over Matt Rhule, which they have to be absolutely regretting to the nth degree right now. But for Greg Williams to be employed in the NFL still, I mean, he's like a spy who goes in and ruins teams.
Maybe it's because teams, owners, head coaches love having that bad cop addition to their staff, the one that does not care. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's one of my great mysteries. I told you going into that Cardinal game that I heard from somebody, a good source of mine in New York, who said there's some stuff afoot here where Greg Williams probably won't be coming after Kyler Murray because he does not want to further this reputation. And more to the point, he doesn't want to risk any more of his reputation for Adam Gase. Now he's come out and he said, look, this is not at all a defensive thing. The offense needs to score points. He's trying to get himself fired before Adam Gase gets blown out, so he can be clear of the Adam Gase wreckage. I don't know. And it's a fascinating thing, and why somebody would hire him, I really don't know. I mean, if you're a football organization, you really believe that you need to instill this culture of players not decapitating or metaphorically speaking, concussing other players, why do you keep hiring somebody who that's all he does is target players?
Yeah, and it's been talked about for years and years.
I don't get it.
Text WIN, W-I-N, to 620-620 for your chance to win a twosome at the Auction Southern Dunes Golf Course. Once again, that's WIN to 620-620. We all win with Auction. Coming up next, how much will the Cowboys be rallying behind their fallen quarterback? How much of a factor is that tonight? We'll get into it next. Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Bickley and Marotta, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Monday night. Mike Nolan, Nolan, Nolan can get this offense rolling. That should be the goal Monday night. The Dallas D is ghastly, horrible and nasty. Couldn't be worse off if they tried. And Texas is the state that Kyler dominated. A coming out party for our guy. Take him out, beat him up, beat him up. Take him out, beat him up tonight. Dalton's in, Dak is out, Dalton's in. You can win Monday night. Yeah! Yeah!
Jarrett, text Carlin.
When you were performing that, did you kind of feel yourself almost morphing back into your Aladdin? A little bit?
A little bit with the voice there.
Yeah.
They call me Buckshot Carlin.
That's what you think they call you.
Tonto Goldstein. You ever heard that joke?
I have not.
Stephen Wright.
Yeah.
What is that joke?
I'll tell you it off the air.
Okay. Okay.
Mike Nolan can get this offense rolling. The defense has been ghastly and nasty in Dallas. On the flip side, they do have a lot of offensive talent. We know it's going to be Andy Dalton at quarterback. And the outpouring of emotion and love and respect towards Dak Prescott, it's been so widespread, Bick, you have to wonder how much of an emotional factor that's going to be in this game. Now, they finished last week without him. They won the game. We know Dak Prescott's not going to play again this year. Here's Andy Dalton on his role this evening against the Cardinals.
For me, I just got to run this offense, you know, how it's supposed to be run. You know, I feel like I've just got to be me and kind of let my play speak for itself. You know, I feel like there's a lot of talent on this team, and my job is to distribute the ball to our guys, let them go make plays, and you know, just be me throughout the whole process of it all. And so, you know, like I said, I feel like I you know, still have a lot of good football left, and you know, I'm anxious to go show this for the rest of the season.
Isn't it a bit interesting that on the flip side, I mean, the Cardinals lost a very popular player for the season as well, and a very good player in Chandler Jones.
Mm-hmm.
But because the injury wasn't as gruesome as Dak Prescott's, it's just a football injury. I don't know if
Dak Prescott's injury is more kind of
like
a rallying cry. That's a great point.
Yeah.
You know what? There's a level of injury that happens, whether they're extremely gruesome or extremely costly to that player's career financially, or a combination of both, that lead it to a different level. Yeah, we're gonna do this for him, man. You're right. You're right. It's a good point.
Although
Chandler Jones had goal. He had his sights set on the NFL all-time sack record.
Well, he said it was going to be easy to get.
Yeah.
And we kind of raised an eyebrow at that because he was close last year. In fact, he was within shooting distance of it going into Week 17 against the Rams and then got shut out and finished second in the league with 19 sacks. Now, Corey Peters, one of the leaders on that defense for the Cardinals, he did talk about the rest of the guys having to deal with the emotions and, you know, the lack of production and not having Chandler Jones.
Well, I think, you know, first thing, you just have to acknowledge that a type of player like Chandler, you just can't replace that. As far as from a production standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, the energy he brings to the locker room. So I don't think it's a point in really trying to replace it. I think everybody else just has to step up and improve. You know, we're not expecting one guy to come in and lead the league in sacks. But we are expecting everybody to kind of pick it up, and that includes the offense. So, you know, I have to step up. The younger outside linebackers have to step up, and it's going to be a full team effort to try to replace that production.
It's going to have to be.
Yeah.
Because, again, you just don't plug somebody in and say, go get me four sacks. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, listen, a couple things that I want to reference back to our visit with Jim Bob and the Crayfish. What was it?
KNC Masterpiece.
That's what
I think it was. Sweet Baby Ray's.
Kevin and Corey.
Kevin and Corey.
If there's never been more, two more Texas names than Kevin and Corey.
Brown Sugar and Smokey, I believe, were their names.
What did you call them?
I don't even know.
Jim Bob and the Crayfish.
I just came off the top of my head. Don't expect refined humor from me, okay? It's not what I do.
It was funny. It was funny. Wonder what they're calling us right now on their show.
There were two things that came out of that to me. Number one was they didn't want to engage in a lot of civic insults because they don't feel confident in their football team.
No.
Right?
Nor should they.
The very first question, the way they started it off was saying, like, tell us why there's any possible reason Dallas should be favored in this game. Like, what is going on here?
Right. I know.
And boy, they were big on the spread and all that stuff, too. I don't know what they got going on in Dallas there, but
there was a lot of movement. I mean, the Cardinals started at like 2.5 point favorites.
Right. Yeah.
Now at the end of the, you know, before the game, they're underdogs.
And the other thing was being from a market that knows a lot about college football and all levels of football, they're stunned that Isaiah Simmons hasn't produced. And maybe tonight is a night for that. I really hope he does.
Yeah, okay.
I really hope.
On a scale of 1 to 100, what's your confidence level that we'll be talking about?
Yeah,
that?
Not
mine's
much.
About at a 2.
Yeah.
But on a scale of 1 to 10, how many snaps will he have? Between 1 and 10?
Yeah, I'll say 8 to 10.
Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong. I want to see the kid play. The one spot they're not getting injuries is the spot that he was taught to play.
Right. That's right.
You would have
thought
that last week against that terrible, terrible Jets offense would have been what you would have given him a chance. I don't know if this week versus that great Dallas offense is the week.
But then here's another question that I would like to pose out to everybody, because I've heard Gambo say this a lot. Who's he going to replace? And I've heard people say Devondre Campbell, no one knew he was going to be that good. Garbage. When the Cardinals signed him, I got a text from a guy who's covered him in the past and said, you're going to love this guy. This guy's a baller. So the Cardinals must have hoped Devondre Campbell would have been as good as he is. Okay? They surely hope Jordan Hicks would be as good as he is. So why are they training him at inside linebacker? Just a thought. Just a thought for a guy who can play four positions. Why are you training him at that one? Okay.
It's a great question.
Thank you.
We'll get more into it,
I think. Yeah, we will.
Have you subscribed to the Bickley and Murata podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Bickley and Murata podcast. It's brought to you this week by National Bank of Arizona. Coming up next, this basically concludes the Bickley and Murata portion of the program. Although we're on the next portion of the program, too. A little Big Red Monday roundtable action. Burns and Gambo straight ahead. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.